When was the last time you walked into a supermarket and bought something harvested from the wild? Well, you're not likely to find any wild grains in the bread section. Wild asparagus in the produce aisle? Almost certainly nothing at the meat counter. No, pretty much the only place you'll find wild food anymore is in the seafood section, but even that's changing fast. Take salmon, America's favorite fish. 3/4 of the salmon sold in the world comes from fish farms. And like other kinds of farms, there are big concerns about their environmental impact. That's one reason that a native group in Canada is trying out a new approach to salmon farming. Here's our story from our Livable Planet desk and Eilish O'Neill of station KUOW in Seattle.
There are more crows than people on the wooden sidewalks of Alert Bay, British Columbia, this winter day. Most of the small businesses near the waterfront are closed for the season, and the tiny town near the tip of Vancouver Island is almost deserted. The biggest building is an abandoned salmon cannery, a reminder of what used to be here.
In the 40s, 50s, Alert Bay was the, we could call it the salmon capital of the world. Before that, of course, our people had the richest river probably on Vancouver Island.
That's Bill Cranmer. I met him in another closed business, his own restaurant, which he's been working on rebuilding since it burned down a couple of years ago. Cranmer's a hereditary chief of the Namgis First Nation, one of BC's native groups. For centuries, he says, salmon sustained the Namgis lives and culture.
Our ceremonies are tied to all of these things that used to make our people healthy. We even have a salmon dance.
But Cranmer says there are hardly any wild salmon left here these days. They've been hit by dams and other development along rivers, overfishing, a warming ocean, and, he says, the rise of salmon farms nearby. There are more than 60 salmon farms now in the waters of BC and neighboring Washington state, and Cranmer says they're bringing big problems for wild fish, including fish waste and parasites.
The fish farms are a real breeding ground for sea lice.
Cranmer says that's a big threat to young wild fish. If he and his Namgis First Nation people had their way, they'd get rid of open water salmon farms. But they can't, so they're trying another idea for rebuilding a salmon economy for their community, and it's a surprising one. They've built their own salmon farm on land. Across the bay in nearby Port McNeill, I head into a warehouse that's home to the Kutera Salmon Farm. Inside, fish food pellets rush through metal tubes into big round tanks. When I climb up a ladder, I can see the salmon's backs glinting greenish in underwater lights. There are hundreds of fish.
Each week, we sort of hoover out using a big pump, 12,000 pounds of fish.
Gary Ullstrom is Kutera's CEO.
And we put them into our harvest tanks.
On the other side of the warehouse, wastewater flows through a filtration tank. In open water farms, the fish waste just flows right into the sea. Critics say that's bad for the ecosystem and for wild fish. But here, the water is treated by bacteria.
Kutera is good for the environment. We separate wild fish from farm fish. There's no antibiotics, there's no pesticides.
The operators of open water fish farms say their facilities don't harm local ecosystems or wild fish. And they argue their approach saves energy and land. The science itself is still uncertain, but this land-based fish farm is getting support from some local activists.
I'm going to pan sear it.
Ned Bell is a chef with Oceanwise, a Canadian organization that certifies sustainable seafood. He's preparing Kutera salmon fillets at a cooking store in Victoria, B.C.
Nice and seared caramelization, that golden brown color.
Bell says Kutera's land-based fish farming meets an important need.
How are we going to continue to have people being able to eat responsible seafood and also, you know, protect wild stocks?
Oceanwise is helping promote Kutera salmon among environmentally conscious consumers. But there are some big hitches in the company's plans. Its approach might be more environmentally sustainable, but Kutera has struggled to build a sustainable business. For one thing, while all those farms in the ocean can just let their waste float away, Kutera has to carry the cost of its wastewater treatment system. And then there's the company's location.
You're out in, you know, northern Vancouver Island.
John Volpe's a professor at the University of Victoria. He studies fish farms.
Literally at the end of the road of the world, you know, if you've been out there. Transportation costs are quite demanding.
Only one BC grocery chain carries Kutera salmon, and on the day I visited one of their stores, it was the most expensive fish at their seafood counter. Down in Washington State, one grocery chain stopped carrying it because of the expense and the unreliable supply. And then there are the jobs. The big idea behind Kutera was to help restore a salmon-based economy for the Namgis Nation. But so far, Kutera has barely made a dent. Almost everything about the facility is mechanized.
The fish shoot across an aluminum table.
That's CEO Gary Ostrom again, describing what happens when the fish are harvested.
A gentleman stands on this side, another man on the other side. They straighten the fish out. Hammer comes down and hits the fish on the back of the head, kills it instantly.
Those two men are the only two members of the Namgis employed by Kutera, and they come in just once a week to help harvest and pack the fish. Other than them, there are only three full-time employees, and none of them are Namgis. But Ostrom says he believes Kutera can overcome its challenges and achieve its goals.
There's a whole host of innovations that are going to increase its competitiveness in the marketplace.
But ultimately, Ostrom's also counting on a shift in public opinion, and maybe in regulation. That might be starting to happen. Just south of the BC border, Washington just passed a law that will phase out open water salmon farming in the state. For The World, Alicia O'Neill, Port McNeil, British Columbia.